Good evening, everyone. It's great to see everyone. I will try to be short. Just remember the lesson from Sunday. Don't look at the clock. We're going to try to go through and be quick. When I was putting this together, I was thinking about straddling the fence. You know, there's a lot of times when we look at things and we look at things, especially when it pertains to our Christian lives, and we don't take a side. We tend to think if we just let it go that it's okay. And I want us to look at the church at Laodicea because it's a great example of this in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, where it begins. It says, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea," right? And we have to understand that that angel means messenger. It's not an archangel. It's not a cherubim or a seraphim, but it's just a brother that was going to take the letter to that church. And he says, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, and I know you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody hears my voice and the door is open, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne." John uses a lot of images in this section of Revelation. And what he's doing is he's referring to one of Barry's favorite things. He's really talking about geography all through this verse. Because see, where the church of Laodicea was located at, you had no water source. But to one direction, you had Hierapolis. And Hierapolis had these great hot springs. And from these hot springs, there was an eye disease that would go around. And they made eye salve in Hierapolis that would cure blindness that was caused by this eye disease. They made eye salve. And then when they tried to pipe water in because they didn't have that source from Hierapolis, well, what happens when hot water goes over a long distance? By the time it gets there, it's not hot anymore. All of us who have lived in the north and know when the pipes freeze and you start boiling that little bit of water on the stove to make a hot bath, by the time you get into it, it's not hot no more, even though you poured in all that boiling water. So that water became lukewarm. And now Colossae had cold water. And what they did, and we know cold water has a purpose, when we're out there cutting that grass in the summertime here in Alabama in 154 degree heat with 200% humidity, when we come in from doing that, we want a tall, cold glass of water. It serves a purpose. It quenches our thirst. It serves its purpose within our life. So Jesus had John giving them some imagery that they would know to let them know that they're not serving a purpose. So that's the first thing he says, is you're not serving a purpose. And he says, because of that, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You know, if you drink lukewarm water, sometimes it will cause you to get nauseated. And then he continues on, he lets them know about themselves. You see, Laodicea was a wealthy city. They made fine garments. They made really expensive clothes. They were one of the first cities to have a university. So they thought that they knew everything. They thought that they had all this knowledge. And they thought that they had all this wealth. And they were doing something. And that's where Jesus had to let them know. He said, I'm going to give you this image so you can see. You need to anoint your eyes. Even though that you think you can see, you're spiritually blind. Even though you think you got your fine clothes, he said, you're still spiritually naked. You need to come to me. And what he was doing was he was trying to get them over from straddling the fence. And I use this text a lot when we talk to especially a lot of the more liberal brethren with the use of multiple song leaders and beatboxing within worship service and all the stuff that they do that's outside. So many churches just continue to look over these things. And we continue to look over things both in church and in our lives. There's so many times where we look over these things that are not in line with God's word and we just let it go. And by our silence, what Jesus is letting us know is we are approving of it. When we just continue to let these things go on, we're approving in it. So we have to stand against those things and repent where we are wrong. And that's what we have to look at tonight. Where have we gone wrong, and are we willing to repent of those sins? Each and every one of us has to look inside of our hearts and see, where are we at within our relationship with God? What have we just been letting go on by? What have we been accepting over that we shouldn't have been accepting? And see if we're willing to make that change. We know that Jesus did a great thing when he came to earth and died for the remission of our sins. And we owe it to him to do those things which are right. And the first thing that we have to understand is that if we haven't given ourselves over to Jesus, that's the first step that we have to do. The Bible is really clear about what we must do. When you look at the book of Acts chapter 2, you see that Peter was preaching the sermon on Pentecost, and he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He preached that there was a purpose for it. He confessed who Jesus was. He says, "This is the Messiah, the Son of God, whom he crucified." And then it caused a reaction, a response. Remember Sunday we talked about God's word should bring forth a response. And the response was, "Brethren, what must we do then to be saved?" And Peter gave him a simple answer. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Meaning that we have to turn away from our sins, repent of those things which we know are contrary to God's word, and give ourselves over to baptism, God's physical agent for a spiritual action. And that's what we have to do. And then finally, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we must remain faithful even unto death. Meaning that no matter what goes on in our lives, we're going to have stumbles, we're going to have falls, we're going to get knocked down. Don't lose your faith in God. And that's what Jesus told Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. He said, "I pray that your faith faileth not." All we have to do is keep our faith, and God will carry us through. If you're subject and need to respond in any way, we just ask that you come up as we sing the song of encouragement.